Hey, it's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and coming up on the Friday edition, we've got ourselves a couple of train wrecks potentially in the world of sports. One in the NBA, one in the NFL. How did the Dodgers swoop in and take Max Scherzer from the San Diego Padres? John Paul Morosi stops by to give you all the details. We've also got more drama in Green Bay, the latest edition of Animal Thunderdome and the scraps. All of that yours coming up next here. Outkick the Coverage. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
He's LeVar Arrington. Hey. I'm Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Friday. Welcome to the start of your weekend. We don't wait for Saturday, LeVar. We get things started here on a Friday.
I mean,
why not? Yeah, of course. And the shenanigans will ensue as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR.
Guaranteed.
With the man himself, Styx, LeVar Arrington.
Yeah, man. How you feeling?
I was listening to reggae before we got on the air, and LeVar was like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of reggae. I'm like, well, you know, not everybody's perfect, you know what I mean?
I couldn't believe you knew as many artists as you did, man. Shouts out to Jonas. Sheesh. I was like, man, are you going to start scatting up in here?
We could do a game on the show here called Is It a Reggae Artist or Not?
And
I would go
lose.
0 for 10. Yeah. I'd go 0 for 10. I have no idea. It's not my thing. But when it comes to the world of sports, I do think there's an element of being able to sit back and watch. When you're a player, do you know – when you're in the midst of, because you had some drama there in Washington. I'm just saying. But I'm just wondering, when you're on the inside, are you aware of how entertaining it is to watch a dysfunctional organization on the outside for some people?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Like, there came a point in time, if you're in dysfunction long enough, this sounds horrible, but you kind of acclimate to it. You know, because that's got to be your survival technique. But it's like, I told you the story about John Madden, right? Did I ever tell you that story?
Oh, it was like a pre-show meeting?
It was a preseason meeting, and they're doing a production meeting because we had the first game. This is how far back this goes. Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson were performing at the game.
The pregame.
It was a kickoff game. We played the New York Jets.
Whatever happened to them? Are they still together or no?
No, that's long gone. She's got a ton more kids. I think he does too.
Yeah.
I think Nick Lachey won though. He married the lady from. Look, I said the lady. I'm being respectful this morning.
I know. Look at you, man.
From MTV.
Yeah, I forget the name, but
she was a looker though. She was easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't distract me from the embarrassment that I'm about to, the self deprecation and team deprecation that's about to take place right now. So sorry. It's okay, Jonas. So we go in pre-production meetings. You know, they pull the stars into the production meetings, and John Madden is calling the game. Shouts out to John Madden. And John Madden starts asking questions. They're asking questions. And John asks me, he goes, what do you think the expectation of this team is this year? And I was like, oh, it's Super Bowl or bust. And John looks at me with this, like, befuddled look. And I'm thinking, you know, he's going to say, well, explain it. Explain how you believe that this team is going to do that. Instead, he says to me, if you guys make it to the Super Bowl, I will bungee jump out of the Goodyear blimp at the 50-yard line before the game starts. That's how bad it was in Washington at one point. And let me tell you something. I'll never forget that moment, Jonas. I was offended first. Like, the first moment it hit me, like when the sound from his mouth hit my ear, comprehended by my brain, I was offended for 2 seconds.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you go into it thinking, oh, we got a shot, and it's the people on the outside. It's like being in a bad relationship when everybody that can on the outside can see, hey, man, it's not the one, and you keep trying to talk yourself into, like, yeah, I think that's natural. I think that happens in a lot of places.
Bro, that was one of the quickest turnarounds of a seed of growth. He planted the seed of doubt. That seed of doubt grew so quick in that moment. Like, the next 3 seconds and on, it was like, dang, do we suck? I think we suck.
Got you thinking about things.
John Madden
bit.
Just said he'd bungee cord. And if you know the story, for all you out there, so let me give you a little bit more context. John Madden is afraid of heights. He doesn't fly.
Yeah.
Everything he does, they drive
the
him.
Madden
he had
Cruiser.
The Madden bus, right?
Which, well, let me tell you something.
Oh, it was
pimped out. There are buses.
And then there's
Madden's. And then there's
bus.
The Madden Cruiser. And that thing is a rock star style.
Because he doesn't leave the ground.
It's great.
So for John Madden to say, I would go into the Goodyear blimp, and not only go in the blimp, but would jump out of the blimp, you'd have to understand how debilitating that was to my psyche and my emotions. As the leader of this Washington football team, mind you. And we went out there and we beat the hell out of New York that game. We just didn't have a great season.
Yeah, and the reason I bring this up
I know where you're going,
we've seen over the past couple of days, I think, potential train wrecks going on in the world of sports.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, we're going to have more on that later on because this thing is just not going to be smooth sailing
this year.
It's not going to be smooth
sailing.
Power
struggles aren't. Yeah. Coups aren't easy.
Yeah, it is. So this is going to be a wild one. And then the Los Angeles Lakers make a move in what I think is going to be absolute entertainment through and through.
Oh, easily.
Russell Westbrook is now a Los Angeles Laker. they get a deal done. So now you're going to have LeBron James. He gets his big three going. He's a big fan of these big three combinations. He's got Anthony Davis. And now they're going to add Russell Westbrook. And here's why I'm skeptical on this. And this isn't even just an X's and O's. Well, neither can shoot from the outside, which is a big problem, especially in today's NBA. You think for 1 second Russell Westbrook's going to take a back seat one time next season to LeBron James? He's not built that way, man. Like, certain guys are willing to be the co-pilot, and then there's Russell Westbrook. He's not built that way. So the idea that this is going to fix all the problems, I think this has got potential disaster written all over it.
Oh, of course it could have potential disaster written all over it, but I actually think it is an interestingly good move. I really do, because here's the thing. Russell Westbrook gets a bad rap a lot, but Russ goes hard
in the
paint.
Love him.
Like, he's a throwback player. He loves to play the game. He's a fierce competitor, fears no one. And the one thing that I was saying about this Los Angeles Lakers team that I'm sure a lot of people will agree, you know, we had this debate, and Rick Bucher was one of the guys that said they don't need a third guy. They don't need a third star or a third superstar to be able to win the championship next year. Yes, they do. They 100% need a third one, Jonas. And the reason why they need a third one is because the one thing that we knew about LeBron for the longest time is he was durable and he was going to always be there. That has not been the case since he's come to Los Angeles.
Two of the 3 years he's here, he's been injured.
He's had some injuries. Now, not crazy injuries, but nonetheless, he's aging, and some of those injuries are probably going to be more nagging than what they've been before. We know Street Clothes Davis is going to get injured. You know at some point, he's going to have his street clothes on.
A bit
right?
harsh for a Friday, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, come on now. So,
well, that's Chuck gave it to him. And for our guy, Brady, who isn't on today, I figure I'd do a Chuck reference because him and, you know, Charles love each other. And you know what, Jonas? Bringing in a guy like Russell Westbrook, LeBron is probably, whether he'll admit it or not, LeBron is probably getting fatigued on having to be the bad guy in the locker room. And what does he go out and do? What does this Lakers team do? They go get a guy that's familiar with the area, went to school here, cut his teeth here, and now you got a guy that's going to hold people to task in a way that LeBron now doesn't have to be that guy all the time. That's just the leadership aspect of it. But when you get onto the court, if Anthony Davis, for some reason, some strange reason, happens to go down and can't play, this team can still win with Russell Westbrook on this team and out there on that court.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what next year is going to look like from a – because I think there's a lot of questions around the NBA just from health. Like the Clippers – we have no idea what the Clippers are going to look like with Kawhi's situation. Phoenix could be shook from what happened in the finals.
But they're looking at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You bring in Russell Westbrook because you have to be able to – if you're going to have those three coming in their second season – the only chance you have is to be able to match what Brooklyn's going to bring to the table.
And I'm just looking at it from just Western Conference. And then when you branch out and you go to the East, that's where Brooklyn comes in. You know, we'll see about Milwaukee and all that. But, like, first of all, it's going to be entertaining as hell.
Oh,
and here's
certainly.
Why it's going to be entertaining as hell. I love Russell Westbrook. Absolutely love him. And here's why.
Was that a qualifier before you get him?
No. Because he's never – like, you can say whatever you want about the three-point shooting and all that, and that's fine. But you've never watched a Russell Westbrook game, the R's and W's. Yeah, that's
Russell Westbrook.
You've never watched him play and thought, God, you know, he's just cutting corners today. You know, not really giving it his all. You know, he's not really. That guy will give you 100% every single time he's out there.
Indeed.
And I just wonder, when he sees LeBron maybe not get back on defense like he's done a couple of times, when he sees Anthony Davis maybe come up and maybe not push through something that he hasn't been able to.
But that's why you bring him.
And I wonder how that's going to play out because he the thing about Westbrook, too, when he's frustrated, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's visibly frustrated and annoyed and irritated. And so from that standpoint, I think it's going to be wildly entertaining.
It's going to be entertaining.
I don't know to what degree it's going to work, but I cannot wait to watch it.
I think he's a lightning rod for this team, and I think that it is a tremendous decision because you got rid of guys like Pope. I'm okay with Caldwell. Like, I ain't have a problem with him. But he's not going to add to your team in a way where you're going to be able to win the championship next year outside of a role player.
Yeah.
You bring in Russell Westbrook. You get, you know, Kuzma. Like, we have had all kinds of different conversations about Kuzma, right? Like, is he a malcontent? Why hasn't he transitioned into being more of a player? You know, why hasn't he grown his profile any more than he has? What's his ceiling at this point? If you have those doubts, you know, you know
at this point, right?
I'm pretty certain you have an idea where he's going to be, at least for the Lakers.
Yes. Yeah.
So why not bring in a guy and you give up a first round pick as well? Why not bring in a guy that you know is familiar with the elites in the game because he's one of them, but also is going to be that guy, again, that can give you points. He can create space. He can take the pressure off of LeBron James quite a bit with the style of play that he has. They needed that. I was saying Bradley Beal. So it's interesting that they went and got one of the two. I was saying Bradley Beal or Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Same type of player.
Yeah. Then both those guys I would have liked better just from a basketball standpoint, but the offers or, you know, what they were expecting or asking for could
but
have been.
But tell me why. Tell me why.
Why
you'd rather Bradley Beal or Dame?
I think Beal's a better player at this point in his career. I think he's younger.
Good.
And
he is
I think younger. Dame Lillard's a better player at this point in his career. I don't know the asking price for both those guys. And it could be astronomical. And they could both still be moved, and Dame's been kind of back and forth. But nonetheless, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And who knows? Maybe we'll be allowed back at Laker game next year to be able to take it all in. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. All right, it is Outkick
Hopefully
the Coverage
you're
here.
Doing the show from there, maybe.
I would love to.
It would be way too early for a game if we were doing the show, though.
That's right. Depending on which players are on that team, they could still be hanging
still
out.
There.
Yeah, still there's a lot
after
to do.
Party.
Yeah, there's a lot to do afterwards.
Okay. Right.
Outkick the Coverage here. Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. Coming up next, though, a blockbuster move in the world of sports, and we will get all the details as to how it happened. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Right now, though, he is kind enough to join us here. One of our favorites. He is live from D.C.
All right.
Where apparently there's a fire sale going on. It is none other than John Paul Morosi, Fox Sports Radio Major League Baseball insider, our MLB Network insider as well, too. JP, it's Jonas, it's LeVar, still basking in the glory of the Italian national team winning the Euro Cup, but we've got a trade deadline on our hands, my man.
Yes, we do. I could talk about Italy and the Euros, but we don't need to do that on trade deadline day, my friends. The people want to hear about Max Scherzer and Trey Turner being Dodgers. This is a great day. LeVar and Jonas, great to be with you as always.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got to know. All right. How the hell did this happen? Because I was reading reports, and this isn't to call out anybody who maybe got it wrong, because I think, you know, sometimes maybe you get bad info or it's bad sourcing or whatever, but the assumption was, oh man, the Padres have done it again. They've swooped in and gotten the big fish from the starting free agent pool and Max Scherzer. And then all of a sudden, we see stuff that it's not over yet. And then fast forward about a half hour to 45 minutes later, now the Dodgers have him, and not only him, but they get Trey Turner. How did this all transpire?
Well, a couple things. I think number one, it was close at one point with the Padres yesterday, but it was not done. And it never was done. This is not a deal where there was a deal that was agreed upon and then all of a sudden the sides backed away from it. That was not what happened. It did get close with the Padres, but I also think once those reports started coming out that the Padres were stepping up their efforts, all of a sudden the Dodgers said, wait a minute, are we going to let Max Scherzer go to our division rival, or are we going to increase our prospect package and then make sure that to get Scherzer, we also get Turner, and that was the reason why the Dodgers were comfortable putting in Keibert Ruiz and Josiah Gray, their number one and number two best prospects. And I think that all along, we've seen in this the last week or so, teams comfortable with this notion of packaging two players together that would make a team more comfortable giving up its top prospect or two. That you go with quality over quantity as a team that's selling your best players, so to speak. And that's exactly what the Nationals did. They wanted Ruiz as their future catcher. They wanted Gray as a future starting pitcher. And to do that, they had to put both Turner and Scherzer in the deal. They liked what the Dodgers offered at the end better than what San Diego did. And now Max Scherzer is going to be a Dodger, and Trey Turner is going to be a Dodger. It's a big day in baseball, guys. This is a transformative trade. The Dodgers have taken on more payroll. They're going to pay, I believe, $9 or $10 million in luxury tax penalties as a result. But they're doing this because this is what they believe they need to do to repeat as World Series champions. And when a team goes for it and shows they're not satisfied with one championship, it's great for the game.
Our MLB insider, John Paul Morosi, joining us here on Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Did the Nationals use the Padres as leverage to get those two prospects from the Dodgers?
Probably, on some level.
Good for them.
I think that that's, that's an entirely possible outcome, but that's, I suppose, this time of year, my friend.
Good for them.
All things happen in the course of doing business,
JP,
right?
Fantasy football's right around the corner. We do it to our friends all the time. That's how it works.
Exactly right. It's no different than when you're negotiating with LeVar over a player on the Fox Sports Radio Fantasy Football League. This is all part of it. And so, this though, too. The Padres will pivot here. They will try to get Jose Berrios from the Minnesota Twins, who is an excellent pitcher, who is under control for next year, unlike Scherzer. So Scherzer, of course, as you know, is a rental. There's only one Max Scherzer, but it's also worth pointing out that Berrios is someone who, if they get him from Minnesota, will impact their rotation next year as well. So it's not necessarily a doom and gloom day for the Padres, even though they clearly wanted Scherzer, and now not only do they not get Scherzer, but they have to deal with him in the division with their arch-rival Dodgers. So there's a lot of intrigue there, and again, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how the rest of the season plays out, how the next 12 hours play out here in Major League Baseball.
JP, this clearly sets off the alert and the alarm to Nationals fans and even around the league that it's a rebuild that's taking place clearly in the nation's capital. What do you think the direction is? I mean, I was there, you know, for so many years covering the Nats, and it was such an amazing time with Zim and Strauss and Harper and all those guys. That it seems as though now after the World Series and everything, that this is now the definitive moment that says a rebuild of what proportion is taking place. How big of a rebuild do you think it's going to be?
Well, you're exactly right, LeVar, with everything that you just said. And it is now a watershed day here in D.C. You know, I flew here last night. We've got the Cubs and Nationals playing here, the two most prominent sellers in baseball. We're going to see if Bryant, of course, on the Cubs side has moved as well, and who of the remaining Nationals is traded today. I mean, this is going to be a really transformative day. It's already been a transformative 24 hours for the Nationals, and you're exactly right. This, and I would say this too, it makes it a lot easier. These trades are a lot easier to make, and even the trades of the Cubs trading Rizzo, and if they end up trading Bryant, when you've won and you've been able to celebrate that moment and win the World Series championship as the Nationals did, as the Cubs did, it makes the heartache of a tough decision like this a little bit easier to take because you've done it and you've won it. And you've seen that with the Kansas City Royals. So when they won it in 2015, they had to go all in. They bumped up their payroll probably beyond where they were comfortable, but they did it because they knew that was their window. Mm-hmm. And the Nationals knew they had a window a couple of years ago to win, and they did. And so now when you've done that and you can say to your fans, listen, we went all in, we added a bunch of payroll, this was a transformative time in the history of the franchise, but now it's ending because Max is going to be a free agent, we haven't signed him to an extension, and we're not competitive this year. And so it's a tough day, LeVar, but it's also a day to mark the end of an era, and those days are emotional, but it makes it a lot easier when you can look up and see a banner that flies as a result of the contributions of the likes of Max Scherzer here in D.C. and Anthony Rizzo in Chicago.
John Palmarosi, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider, MLB Network Insider as well, joining us here on FSR. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington here with you on Outkick the Coverage. When it comes to the Cubs, obviously Rizzo went, Jock Peterson, and once the Jock Peterson deal was done, it was like, okay, the wheels are in motion. Then Rizzo goes. So who's next, and who are you hearing from this Cubs team, these World Series champs from just 5 years ago that are now going to be off this team and somewhere else trying to help a contender? Who are the next chips to fall there?
Well, I think the next two are Bryant and Kimbrel, and it would not surprise me if they go in the same deal. I don't think necessarily that the Dodgers are still in play for them, although I wouldn't totally rule it out, at least for Kimbrel, because I think he would be a tremendous addition for the Dodgers. He would replace Kenley Jansen as the Dodgers closer immediately and be their closer next year as well, which would resolve a lot of outstanding issues for them. The Giants, I think, are very much in play for Bryant. I think he's a really good fit there. I also think he's a very good fit for the New York Mets. So if I had to say, I believe by 4 p.m. Eastern time today, Chris Bryant is no longer a Cub. I think Kimbrel will no longer be a Cub. Javier Baez is a little harder to conceptualize for me just because there is such a variance in his performance where he'll go and be a streaky player for a while and really have a hard time making contact, and then he'll make brilliant plays and he'll hit the walk-off against Amir Garrett and be a real catalyst as he was this past week, which is probably the last great moment of this generation of Cubs, if you will, with Rizzo and Bryant still there on the team at that time. It's going to be a very tough day for the Cubs, I think, in the same way that yesterday was emotional for the Nationals. But I do believe that both Bryant and Kimbrel will be gone by the end of today. The name that I think is really interesting to watch, too, is Wilson Contreras, because he has control on his contract for not just this year but next year. And so there's not quite the same level of urgency to move him, although we've seen it many times, guys. You don't get nearly the same amount of prospects back when it's just one pennant race as opposed to two. So I do believe that the Cubs will try diligently to make a deal for Wilson Contreras today as well. And this is going to be a very, very busy day across the industry, and especially for Jed Hoyer and the Chicago Cubs.
I'm going to address the elephant in the room. We were one of the shows that were bold enough to go pretty deep and in-depth on the Trevor Bauer situation. How much does this trade scenario bring back hope? I heard you mention that they felt as though this is what the organization did, what they felt needed to be done to keep this team as a competitive team. But morale is such a big thing, and I live here in LA, and just the collective gasp when that news hit. How much of a morale boost do you feel this is for this organization? Do you feel a lot of this trade and taking on that luxury tax and the things that they did, maybe there's a little bit more to it than just the idea of, okay, this is best for business to win, but this was something that this organization maybe saw fit to, you know, in a way, you know, address the elephant in the room? Is a lot of people felt as though this season may be a wash in terms of being competitive because of that entire situation and how that played out.
That's an excellent point, LeVar, and I do believe that obviously on one level, bringing in Scherzer is a direct response to A, the on-the-field issue of not having a pitcher that you were counting on, and B, I think you're right. Max is someone who is universally beloved in the sport. Bauer was a controversial figure even long before the revelations came out about the investigation by the Pasadena Police Department. So Scherzer will immediately give credibility and positivity to that clubhouse, as will Trey Turner. And we have to acknowledge the possibility that Trevor Bauer has already thrown his last pitch for the Dodgers. I don't know that he's going to come back and pitch for the franchise. I really have no idea where this all goes. But the Dodgers, I believe, realize the possibility, at least, that Bauer has pitched his last game for the Dodgers, and they have to move forward with putting the best team on the field and the best representative of their community that they can. And I know this. I've known Max Scherzer for more than 10 years. There's not a stronger citizen in baseball. He's an incredibly thoughtful person who's going to bring a lot of integrity to that room. And I think that from that standpoint, on the field, it was obviously a win in terms of getting Scherzer, but off the field, it matters a lot as well. And it's a great point by you, LeVar.
Thank you.
John Palmarosi, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider, MLB Network, NHL Network. There's nothing this man can't do. He's one of our favorites. And this is a big day to follow John on Twitter, at John Morosi. JP, it's going to be a wild one. I know you're going to be on the phone constantly back and forth trying to get information. So we'll be watching and waiting for your updates throughout the day for Major League Baseball's trade deadline at 4 Eastern time later today.
Well, Jonas and LeVar, always enjoy our conversation, my friends. You guys are the greatest. Thanks for everything today, and have a great weekend as well.
And listen, and JP, when you know, we're going to be talking also at some point, because we got to address the Michigan Wolverines at some point. That needs to be a conversation.
I'm still checking that. I have to make sure I find a way to get to State College for that game, LeVar. I have to. I haven't forgotten about that. It's still circling on my calendar, my friend.
Well, we are all plotting and planning to try to get there for that one. Certain. Jonas has been telling me every break that we have to do this, LeVar.
Yes, I want
to
go. I'm telling you, I gotta go.
I think that we have just planned the Fox Sports Radio remote show for the weekend.
Yes,
we're all going to be there. That's the plan.
Only if our control room is there with us. That's the only way
Let's
I'm going.
That. We're
going
to make that happen too.
Damn right. And I don't want to play sides here, so I'll just show up in an Italia jersey, and you'll know which one we are there, John.
Hey,
that'll
be
us.
There you go. Yeah. We'll be friends no matter what, guys. We're all one family.
I'm going to show up in my Penn State birthday suit, and everybody's going to love it.
How about that? JP, you're the best, man.
All right, JP.
Have a great weekend.
You
Thanks
too.
For everything.
There all right, buddy.
Love that guy. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, though, we have the arrival, all right, the next era of quarterback play for one franchise, and I got a bad feeling about this one. We'll get into all that next here. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, some interesting comments in the NFL. And you could tell somebody has their back against the wall in the National Football League. We will get to all of that here coming up 15 minutes from now on FSR. LeVar Arrington, we were waiting. Who was going to be the last to sign his rookie deal? And it was none other than Zach Wilson, who gets it done. Trey Lance gets it done.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of an issue. People were wondering what's taken so long, what's taken so long. I mean, ultimately, he only ended up missing two practices, but here we are. Zach Wilson has signed his deal with the New York Jets, and I'm not trying to take the lazy approach when it comes to analyzing the Jets, because I feel like a lot of people pile on, just like they piled on the Browns for
a
long time.
Yeah.
I got a bad feeling about Zach Wilson in New York. I don't know. First of all, I was surprised they took a quarterback because before last season, nobody was talking about Zach Wilson. And so in a shortened year where there's, you know, they got tested maybe once, and I think it was Coastal Carolina, they played a game last minute. He didn't play all that well. And all of a sudden, the Jets decide we're going to move off of Sam Bradford, which I didn't have an issue with Sam Darnold, which I didn't have an issue with.
It could have been either one.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, come on now. This is
one's
you know.
A ghost, one saw a ghost. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, you know what, though? You don't know why I always defend Sam Bradford? That guy had no reason to come back financially. Every injury ever suffered, he continued to try and come back, and I respect that. Because he made a grip of cash.
He was supposed to be the dude.
Yes.
He was the dude.
And the injuries just could not stay healthy.
Mounted up. Yeah,
could not stay healthy. But when it comes to the Zach Wilson situation, I mean, they're the worst team in the division, and I don't think it's close. So how long is this going to go? And I know you got Robert Saleh there, and you're changing the culture. But I just get this weird feeling that he doesn't have the pieces around him in that division to be able to compete. And at some point, they're going to be having the same conversation they had with Sam Darnold, in which we're going to make a move because this just isn't the guy right now for this organization.
Well, it's not going to be a quick fix for the Jets. That's for certain. When building back, and Saleh, I believe, is the right guy. He has the right temperament, the right mannerisms as the leader, as the coach, similar in a way to what Ron Rivera brought to the nation's capital. it's a hardness, a hard-nosed approach. It's very energetic. It's believable. You know, you can invest in Robert Saleh in the way that he goes about his business. You tend to be inspired by people like him. I enjoy coaches like him. And he's going to need time. He's going to need time, and so is Zach Wilson. And I think that because they have LaFleur in there for, building that offense.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a Mike Shanahan-esque type of offensive scenario scheme play out. It's going to be how well the offensive line can establish themselves. That's going to be what you have to pay very close attention to as it applies to the offensive success or failures of this team, because so much of what's going to take place is they're going to try to establish a strong, consistent running attack. If you can keep defenses off balance with your running game, which LaFleur offenses, Shanahan offenses, that's what they've been historically known for, is to be able to keep the pressure off of quarterbacks because they're able to move the ball on the ground as well as and effectively as they are. This will take a lot of the pressure off of Zach.
Yeah.
It will give him most likely a fair opportunity to get acclimated to the speed of the NFL, the understanding of what defenses are trying to do to you in the NFL. But if there is no real running game for the Jets, it will make for a very, very difficult transition from the college game into the pro ranks. And it will put a lot of pressure and stress on everybody else within the team. It'll put more pressure on the defense. It'll put more pressure on the coaching staff, because one thing about New York media, it is unforgiving.
Yeah.
And so that's another element that you got to take into play, is that Zach Wilson will not get a ton of, oh, he's a rookie, give him a little bit of time. Oh, he's got the baby face. He's nice. We love his mom. She's all involved. It's an amazing situation. You're not going to get that in New York.
Yeah.
So
I'm just surprised they didn't try and add a veteran quarterback, because I would have felt more comfortable, because clearly, like you said, it is a rebuild. I mean, they're trying to take this in a direction differently. And I'm just surprised that they're – look, he's the starter.
But sometimes you take your lumps with the freshman, because if that freshman takes their lumps in that first year, then generally speaking, that sophomore season, they come in and they're battle-tested, they're hardened, and they have a lot more confidence in terms of what they're bringing to the table. So there's different philosophies in terms of how you approach it, but – I kind of feel bullish about the way that they're going about their business in New York.
They must really like him, man.
To
be able to – you walk away from a guy who you drafted. I know it was a different regime, and Joe Douglas wasn't there when they drafted Sam Darnold. But to walk away from him and hire a new coach and say, we're going to pair you up with a new quarterback and we like this guy enough. Like, they must see something in him that makes them go, that's the guy. Because you don't draft him as high as you do if you don't have full confidence he's going to be
not
the dude
only
moving forward.
Drafting him as high as you did, but the guys you passed up on
to do it, that's the other thing. He's going to have to deal with those comparisons his entire career.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
because I think Justin Fields, I think that was a miss. I think it was a miss for both the 49ers and the Jets not to take him. So
yeah,
but that's just me. But he's going to get his opportunity to prove people like me wrong.
Well,
so,
here's the thing. Go. This is the trick with sports radio: is if you get something wrong,
nobody cares.
Just lie about it later, yeah. And then if somebody calls you out on it, say, "No, you were drinking at the time. What
there
the hell
you
do you know?" That's the trick. It's what I always do. Hour two next.